What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday, December 16th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside creative director at Zanzaru Games, Matt Kramer.
Hey, what's up, Greg?
Not much, Matt. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for having me here.
Thanks for wanting to come here, Matt. Yeah. We've been friends for years.
Yes.
We fell in love together, when you were doing Sly back in the day?
Yep. Old Sly Cooper Thieves in Time back at when you were at IGN.
Yeah. Long, long time ago.
Yep.
And then, you did Thieves in Time in there. You left it on a cliffhanger. We walked away never to touch it again, and now you make VR games.
We do make a ton of VR games. Yeah. VR is where it's at, man.
Is it now, man?
Yeah.
See?
Woo, woo.
PlayStation VR show. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames next week. Next week it's happening.
Yeah, we love VR. Yeah. And, just as a medium, being able to push games in a space that's never been done before.
Yeah.
And working with, Jason Rubin's group and Oculus has been fantastic. They really have given us, creative freedom to make some fun creative stuff and push the boundaries like no one else has.
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, your latest release, Asgard's Wrath, out right
now. Oh yeah,
reviewing very well. And I think it's that thing because it's what when I got my first Quest demo and I came downstairs, my mind blown. You were there and I was like, hey, what's up, Matt? And you're like, come play my game.
It's
not a Quest. It's this because it has to do this. Blah, blah. And the thing you kept pushing, right, is that this is a real RPG in VR. It's not like we're not half-assing. You're not concording as this is. You want to be in there for hours and hours.
Yeah. I mean, as a studio, we're always trying to make full, action, adventure, game experiences. And we've played all the little demos. We've played all the, smaller experiences on VR.
Yeah.
And having the experience to do something that's a full game that people can enjoy.
Sure.
We want to make it like a PS4, XB1 experience.
Yeah.
In VR. And, working with Oculus, they love the idea. They backed us on it. And it's just been an excellent creative, experience all
around.
Was
there trepidation, though? Because I think, right now when you talk to people about VR.
Yeah.
And mainly people who probably don't play that much VR. There's this belief that, people don't want to be in the headset for more than 15, 30 minutes. They don't want to be there. They don't want to do that.
No, it's not true.
Exactly, Kevin, it's not. Gary Whitta, shut your mouth.
Dude, it's totally not true. Especially, with Asgard's Wrath. I mean, I see people in there. We would go to shows. We'd go to GDC, E3 and stuff. And we had to peel people off the demo because they just want to keep playing it. That's what we want to make. We want to make experiences that you're comfortable with on a pancake 2D game and bring that to VR. And the reception on Wrath has been fantastic. Yeah. I mean, we have people in there for hours on time. And you do get a lot of skeptical people.
The sirens are on our end.
He's
we
right here.
Have to point out. It's the other Santa.
Let him in. But you get a lot of people that are used to, those types of games. And they're like, I don't want to play VR because, I want those big games. And then they're a little skeptical about putting the headset on and all that. But with Asgard's Wrath, people have just put it on and they're in the world. They don't want to take it off.
Yeah.
And as a developer, because we think of those skepticisms. We're like, are people really going to play the game for that length of time?
Sure.
And they're in there for hours.
That's awesome.
So it's been a really, a true testament to what the medium has.
We've talked about the tech and the genre. What is the elevator pitch for Asgard's Wrath?
Asgard's Wrath is an action-adventure RPG game. You're playing as a fledgling god, like Loki has kind of taken you under his wing.
I don't trust him. A lot of forms of media have taught me not to trust him.
We do mix up the characters, though, because we know people know who Thor is. They knew who Loki is.
Yeah.
So it's fun to play with those characters and do things that's unexpected.
Sure.
So Loki takes you under his wing. He basically wants these kind of like these little crystals, these stones. And the way you get these crystals, these stones, is by going to different locations around Midgard.
Yeah.
And you're helping humans. Like, you're a god form. And then you're going down and helping a little human character. You're switching back and forth perspective-wise. And then you're finishing that character's story arc. Each character has their own story arc, own abilities.
Yeah.
And then when you fulfill their destiny, it manifests that stone that Loki wants.
Mm.
And it's really cool because each act in the game has different animal followers. You're going to be picking up animals, converting them into these little animal warriors. You can high five them, fist bump them, all kinds of stuff. It's got all the action RPG stuff that, you know, everyone loves, you know, stats, you know, crafting.
Sure.
And each of those acts is in a different location, and you're playing as different characters with different story arcs. So basically, you know, you're going to start the game, you're going to think it's one thing, you're going to play act one, you're playing with, you know, Ingrid, the maiden, and then you get to another act, you're controlling a completely different character, switching between the god. And that's something that Sanzara really likes to do, is make unexpected games with twists and turns. You know,
sure.
I don't want to look at a game and, you know, look at the back of the box or see the trailer and I'm like, I kind of know the whole game.
The entire thing.
It's like when you watch a movie trailer and you know.
They ruin everything.
They ruin everything. I want to do the opposite. I mean, like, completely throw people for a loop and create those exciting moments, because, I mean, ultimately, that's what's going to get people to finish it and go through it and really be enthralled, you know, in the world and you know, what it has to offer. And this game, it's funny watching people's reactions to playing it, because, you know, we've seen people playing it, and there's so many oh wow moments where we really surprise, you know, players. And it,
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, I think when I got paired up with my Shark Warrior, I was
yep.
like, all right, cool. I can get
yeah,
down with
everyone
this.
Loves it. They call out the street sharks and some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's been a blast.
Matt, believe it or not, there's more to talk about when
yeah.
it comes to Asgard's Wrath.
But oh,
we'll
yeah.
save it for reader mail. Instead, right
okay.
now, we got to start talking about PlayStation hiring. Wotottum's reviews are hitting, and Apple Arcade is changing its subscription model because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindafunnygames, with your questions, comments, concerns, and everything under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record the show live, twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Kinda Funny Day 2020 is officially, I wrote June 3rd, January 3rd. Don't listen to that. Don't read my notes if you ever see my notes that you never see. January 3rd is an all-day stream, and we will answer the question, or you will have to answer the question, are you ready for Kinda Funny Games 4.0? Dun, dun, dun. So yeah, did you fix that? Because then now the YouTube's going to eat me alive, you know what I mean? Did you fix it already?
Yeah, it's fixed.
All right, thank you very much. Next week's schedule is nuts for the holiday as well. As you know, kind of funny, we'd like to give people time off here and there. And so next week, no shit. Kevin, don't laugh at that. We like to. Do we do it often? No, but we like to give you the time off, all right?
Or we forget that we don't have time off or that we should have
we
time
fixed
off.
That this year.
I know,
this
I'm
year we fixed
it.
That.
I think Kevin should stay here and keep working.
I've been saying that too. Gary Whitta wanted to do a Whitta Wednesday on Christmas.
Yeah.
Kevin would not hear it.
No.
Next week and the week after, we are kind of off until June. Damn it. I'm writing on my own thing. January 3rd, because I keep screwing myself. But that doesn't mean there's no content for you. Kind of Funny Podcast and the Kind of Funny Games Cast roll on. And if you need daily content, the PlayStation VR show is posting youtube.com/kindoffunnygames on the daily, with the exception of a Mandalorian review being out there and stuff like that. Oh, I'm sure Joey will put up a whole post about it eventually, and you'll know there. But that's what I know right now, when only Kevin and I are in the office, and Matt and my mom. Hi, Mom. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Mohammed. Today we're brought to you by Third Love, Upstart, and Logitech, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Three items on the Roper Report.
Baker's Dozen.
And it is clearly almost Christmas time because nothing has happened in video games. However, number one, Kevin.
Yep.
Don't send in your resume yet. PlayStation is looking for a head of strategy for worldwide studios.
Whoa.
All right, we're gonna run through and see if you hit the criteria before you send anything in. All right, Kev. The position is described as this: the head of strategy and market intelligence will collaborate with global leadership team of worldwide studios, Sony Interactive Entertainment and Sony Group, on strategy development, strategy implementation, maintaining industry-wide perspective on key trends, distilling insights and implications for worldwide studios, and support Sony Group in M&A. That's what? What is M&A? You think? Market and analysis, probably?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And partnership activities. This role reports to the head of worldwide studios. Hey, that's Herman Hulst. More responsibilities here. Co-creates the longer-term strategic growth ambition 2020 through 2024 through organic growth, innovation, and M&A. drives the strategic planning process in partnership with a select team of topic experts within Worldwide Studios, SIE, and Sony Group, including external landscape reviews, customer insights, growth opportunity assessment, and decision support. Define how Worldwide Studios can support SIE's business priorities and strategic initiatives and coordinate this accordingly. Identifies, assesses, and prioritizes strategic growth opportunities, capitalizing upon market conditions, industry trends, competitor moves, consumer trends, and new technology developments. Kevin, are you prepared for the role of your lifetime?
I wasn't listening. What happened?
Okay, you're not going to do it then. Matt?
Yes?
What do you read into this for Sony Worldwide Studios?
I think it's all good news. Yeah. I mean, you know, I know they're moving people around, and, you know, Sony is smart. I think they're on top of their game. They got some great games coming out this year. I think their portfolio lineup looks fantastic. You know, hopefully we get some PS5 next year.
Oh, yeah, you'll definitely get some PlayStation 5 next year.
Yeah, so I think it's all good news across the board.
For you, somebody who knows Sony so well, right? Because you did, of course, the Sly Collection and then Sly Thieves in Time.
Yep.
When you look at what their strategy is, how they've announced the PlayStation 5 stuff so far through these Wired articles, do you look at it and think they're making the right choices? Is that even like something you think about when you look at it, or is that just how it is?
I think from a developer standpoint, for us, it's I want to know what the hardware is. I want to know what it can do. I want to know what the controller looks like. What's the ins and outs of it? But I mean, they're really supportive of their hardware. So I'm really looking forward to seeing everything they have to roll out moving forward.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you think, because I think, when, and granted, all I do is talk into microphones and I have no business sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
Did you guys think when you were working on the Sly stuff so closely with PlayStation that you were on a track to become a first party one day? Because I thought, from the outside, we'd always have that conversation. Who's the next studio that'll get snatched up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we always like, Insomniac will never let it happen.
Yeah.
Egg was on our face on that one. But you guys would come up in the conversation, right? Because it did seem you were there for Sly. Because I remember, too, correct me if I'm wrong, if people don't know, like the way you got the Sly Collection was, eventually Thieves in Time, is that you guys just made your own Sly demo, right? Where you're like, we really want to do this.
Yeah, we did. We originally did our own Sly demo. We did a Sly Thieves in Time pitch for the game. Like, what would the story be? And then that led in, we brought Sony over and showed them that, and they're like, wow, these guys are really into this. They really want to do it. And then they gave us the collection. We did collection, and then we went back and started Thieves in Time.
Yeah.
So, we have an excellent relationship with them. We also did God of War collection for Vita.
Oh, yeah.
We worked with Bluepoint, I think, was the developer on that. So we love working with them.
Sure.
And, I'd love to do more Sly.
Yeah, of course you would. Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. But... So when we were on the other side saying, because I know you listen to the shows every so often, when we'd be saying that, were you laughing at us? Because you obviously were on the road to doing VR stuff on Oculus.
Yeah.
You did the Sonic stuff too, right?
Yep. We did Sonic Boom Shattered Crystals and then Sonic Boom Fire and Ice.
Yeah.
So those were great. I absolutely loved working with Sega.
Sure.
The first game, we had an extremely short time. I mean, it was like 9 months to get that thing done, 10 months.
No problem, right?
And Sega was very happy with it, and they gave us, opportunity to do a second one, and we did the pitch for that.
So do you like? Do you guys really revel in your independence that you can just go do whatever
we
you want?
We do like that. I mean, it's nice to, as a portfolio, as a studio, we want to work on all different mediums. Mm-hmm. I want to be better at what I do. I want to work on different hardware with different people, with different creators, and I think it just makes us stronger as a studio.
Yeah.
So
I want to talk about
Sly Cooper.
Well, that for sure. Yeah. That's coming up in reader mail. That's definitely the question that I already have out there. But I want to talk about how weird you feel like you can get. Because number two.
Yes, yes.
Wadham reviews are out. How do you say this? I already got corrected by an antibiologist. He says it's Wattam. Kevin, how do you say this?
Wattam.
Wattam is how? Wattam.
Because
that's how I
would.
I just
do that right now.
It's like, Wadham? Like Watto? Wadham?
I have
I'm going to say Wadham from here on out.
Say
Wadham.
Just say your way. It's fine.
Well, I think Wattatum or Watata.
No, that's stupid.
Wattatum.
I don't even know what you're thinking there.
Watto, Wattatum. Wattatum.
Watto, Wattatum. throw a couple voices in.
Wadham. Reviews are up right now. Of course, a weird game from the creator of Nobi Nobi Boy. IGN gave it a 9.0.
Wow.
Tom Marks writes, Wadham is a weird and wild fever dream of a game. I want to check this out, 9.0. Did I get that right or did I screw that up? That sounds high.
You must have made a mistake.
That sounds high, right?
The poo game.
I thought it. Well, yeah, this is the poo game. Yes, Kevin.
No, that can't be right.
I'm scrolling down here about eight. It gave an eight. I thought my notes were wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. See, I've checked out on this week as well. Why is anybody working this week? I don't know. I've asked over and over again. Let's try again. 8.0 from IGN.com. Tom Marks writes, Wadham is a weird and wild fever dream of a game, but it's the most enjoyable fever dream I've ever had. Its loop of using ridiculous anamorphic characters to complete simple tasks in order to gather more ridiculous anamorphic characters succeeds thanks to the silly and fun situation it puts you in, even if it's not the most complex or challenging loop to begin with. I can't help but feel like some of the most interesting ideas Wadham uses to shake things up aren't fully explored, but being a part of this friendly world, however briefly, is a true joy. Meanwhile, over on Kotaku, Mike Fahey gave it a positive review as well, writing, at the beginning of the... what I'm doing is taking his first paragraph and last paragraph here to cobble together a consensus of a review you should go read. At the beginning of Wadham, the latest PC and PlayStation 4 game from the Katamari Damacy creator, I control a green cube with a face and a bowler cap, sad and alone in a dark world. Then I make friends with a small rock, then a large rock. I tip my hat to my new friends, and a confetti bomb rolls from underneath the hat and explodes. Then the sun comes out. End paragraph. I've written a lot here, and I get the feeling readers unfamiliar with Wadham or the work of the creator of Katamari Damacy will have any idea what sort of game this is. I think he means will not have any idea what sort of game this is. It's a borderline nonsensical puzzle adventure about restoring a dead world one object with a face at a time. It's adorable, goofy fun, which I believe is something we could all use more of. I'd gone and done a preview of this a couple months back on Kinda Funny Gamescast. Everything they're saying is 100% correct. It is super weird, goofy. I think Mike's intro paragraph there sets the stage so well of just being a lonely green cube that slowly brings everything else together.
I think it looks really interesting. Yeah. I love creative, weird, out-of-the-box stuff. Huge Katamari fan.
Yeah.
Nobi was interesting.
Yeah, I didn't like Nobi Nobi. I loved Katamari. Yeah. That was one of those games I was even playing back, in Missouri or whatever. But to get out here when Nobi Nobi Boy dropped, I remember Clements trying to make a big deal about it at IGN to me, and I'm like, it just doesn't work.
That one was hard to get into, but I love the art style, and to do anything different, new, and creative, I'll give it a try.
Yeah, that's my thing. So. From what I played of the event, which is through Mike's preview, not all the way to the end, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually getting to, where I was throwing poop, there was poops walking around that I had to get into the toilet. That there was a toilet there, too, that needed poops to then grow into the thing that gave me the giant flower, that gave me the giant milk.
That'll get in an eight right there.
Exactly, what I mean? My question for you,
yes.
Matt Kramer, video game developer, is how do you go about making a game like this and getting it published and getting partner? You know what I mean? How do you make a weird game? Because our industry is so risk adverse, right? They want sequels. They want proven things.
I think a lot of it in this case is, there's a proven track record.
Yeah.
Katamari sold extremely well. I don't know what Nobi Nobi sold, but, there's a reputation there, a creative idea. So I think with those things, together, I think there's people that will take a role on it and see how it does. And I'm sure, cost-effectively, it's not. I mean, it's a smaller game.
Sure, so. Of course. Yeah. For you guys, when you're at Sanzaro and you're thinking of making a weird game, do you ever stop yourselves and that is too weird? We need to dial it back. We need to make it more something like this. Because Asgard Wrath being a god, right?
We have, at Sanzaro, we have such a creative, group. We put a lot of humor into our work.
Yeah.
We've got some great writers on staff. Grace Lingad, our other creative director, she's fantastic. Lots of jokes and funny things like that. And I remember we have a term now, on Sly Cooper, if you remember, there's one mission where you were Bentley had a remote control car with a chicken. And I remember when we were doing that, I was like, this is ridiculous. I was like, are we really going to spend our time making this chicken? And and our game director, Bill Spence, he's like, no, we got to do it. This is going to be awesome. And it turned out great. And I was really happy with it.
Yeah.
So, we always call those kind of wacky, weird ideas, chicken car ideas. and sometimes they work out and sometimes they don't. But... to work in an environment where it's open like that, to have that creative wackiness, I think is good. You know, in Asgard's Wrath, you know, the high fives, the fist bumps and stuff, and a lot of the concepts in that game, people were like, what is this? You know, it's hard to see, you know, what the vision is going to be. But if you work with the right publisher, you know, and they can see the vision and you know, support what you're trying to make, then that's where we all want to be. You know, that's where every, you know, creative game developer wants to be. So you're paired with the right people, you're going to make good things.
Do you feel like you're in the place as a studio that you're able to come up with whatever idea you want and get it greenlit? Because that's always the thing, is from a consumer side and from enthusiast press side, we only see the successes, right? Oh, here's Asgard's Wrath. That's a real game, right? Marvel's Powers Unite, right? You were on the stage with me at Comic-Con talking about that.
Like,
so as I pay attention to your studio, I see you guys working in publishing or making games and getting them out, right? But I have to imagine there's things that don't ever get out, right?
There is. There's definitely, I could tell you about a couple of those. Like, there's definitely games that, you know, we work on that don't come out. But the normal flow of it is, you know, the publisher, you know, has some idea, you know, hey, we need an action adventure game or we need this type of game.
Yeah.
We'll do the pitch, like PowerPoint pitch on that, and we'll sit with that group and go through it. And then that from there, it'll be a demo. And usually what we like to do is make a full playable demo.
Okay.
You know, like I want the public, like, 'cause they're paying the developer to, hey, you know, make this game for us. We're paid for a service. So I want to make sure that they, you know, and the studio as a whole understands.
You're doing the thing where your eye contact's with me, but the mic's over there.
We want to make something that is tangible. You know, we want them to see it.
Well, that's got to be such a way to sell it, right? It's like, I can't imagine. I think, you know, you talk to even you guys with Sly, or I know another, and I'm not sure if this is a public story, so I'll just say, another VR game I know that's happening where it was like, no, you can't just talk about it. You have to show them. You have to give them something.
You have to. And it works two ways, because like as we're making that demo, that vertical slice, we're doing all of the pieces that are going to build the whole game. Like I'm looking at like you know, like all the contextual moves, all the, you know, different mechanics, what are the different systems we're going to need, like, and try to bunch those into that demo.
Yeah.
Because it'll help us, you know, moving forward in development. You know, we have a lot of that stuff proven out, you know, and built when we're starting production. And it works on the publishing side because the publisher can look at it and they could show it to people around the office and be like, hey, cool, look at this cool game, you know, Sansar is working on. And it works both ways. It works for the development side and it works for the publishing side. And it's also good to work out all the little kinks at that point. You know, like, I don't like the way he looks, the character looks, or the way they move, or, you know, a new piece of hardware came up and, you know, can you integrate that into the demo or whatnot? So
that's awesome.
Yeah. And that's usually the normal flow we go through. There are projects we've worked on that haven't, you know, come to fruition.
Sure.
But for the most part, we've been really lucky. You know, we just have a great, talented staff and, you know, great group to bring things together.
Okay. Number three and finally on the Roper Report, Apple Arcade's introducing a $50 annual subscription. This is Steve Watts at GameSpot. Apple's mobile game subscription service, Apple Arcade, now offers an annual plan, which can save you some money if you already know you want the service for a full year. The new plan costs $50 per year, which saves you about $10 off purchasing every month individually. This is similar to the model Apple uses for its music and TV Plus services, giving a slight discount for committing to a full year. If you're already a subscriber, you can change your subscription to an annual one. You can find that option by tapping on your profile and then going to Subscriptions, Apple Arcade. Apple Arcade is an all-you-can-eat subscription service that offers access to roughly 100 games, some of them timed exclusives on Apple service. Plus, Apple promises that the games curated for Apple or Arcade have no in-app purchases. Great move.
I think it's excellent.
I'm going to definitely do it. I've been enjoying Apple Arcade. I still get in there and download the new stuff and screw around with the stuff that I still have. Neo Cab, I saw it in the GDC It Nindies event, and I'm needing to play it forever, and now I haven't. It's on the iPad. I just haven't cranked into it.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I'm right on the cusp to do it. I had a friend of mine staying with me.
Yeah.
And he had Apple Arcade. He was showing me Grindstone
Grindstone's so good.
Who's Cappy. Cappy. Yeah. I love that. I was a huge Critter Crunch fan.
Sure. Yeah, right. And, this is definitely that game.
And I love their art style, animation, and all that. But, you know, it's a great deal.
Five bucks.
Yeah. And this is even better because, to be honest, I hate the subscriptions where you have to pay every month. I just want to get it done.
Sure.
Pay for it for a year and you don't see it again.
Well, that's the thing is, like, I feel like it's such a no-brainer. I mean, based on that launch lineup and based on the fact they have added since then and they have added games that are good since then. And, I thought that it was nice to see it move in conjunction with the Game Awards, where at the Game Awards they announced that game. And then I was in the audience at the Game Awards, right? And I think it was 3 or 4 minutes later, I had the notification from Apple of, like, this game's been added.
Oh,
like,
wow.
That's cool when that works.
Yeah, yeah.
They struggle with discoverability, and they do struggle still with telling you. Like, it'll be that thing where they were pushing them, and I remember in the middle of the night on a Sunday night at one point, and, like, Monday you'd wake up and get the notification. It's like, whatever. Right. But, like, I know that they're there. I know that they're quality. I know that there's, you know, there's no in-app purchases, which is cool. And, again, it is Netflix. It is Game Pass. It is – they want me to be on that subscription or get my money now up front because, cool, they want me to forget about it, and they just auto-renew, and even if I don't use it. But it is that thing that I forget until somebody comes in and is like, oh, you need to play that. Fran was just talking on the Gamescast about Mosaic, right? Cool. During the conversation, I went in, downloaded it, haven't started it, don't know when I will, but it's there, and I know it's approved, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think it's good for, you know, families, you know, people with kids, because then they could play games – and you don't have to worry about them hitting the 99-cent, you know, I just spent $500 on whatever. So, I mean, it's all paid for. So
you're a dad, right? Is that something that's happened to you? Have you seen your kids bought $400 of Fortnite skins?
No, they haven't. My kids, you know, I try to, you know, we're a huge Nintendo family.
Sure.
So, you know, a lot of Pokemon, a lot of Switch. You know, my daughter will play, you know, some PS4 once in a while.
Yeah.
We're a huge gaming house.
Was that – we had this conversation recently on one of the shows, right, of, like, how to get your kids into what you like, right? And you can't force it. You can't, you know, push it on them. If you do, they'll rebel. And how did you introduce video games to them in a way that stuck?
In our house, it's kind of hard. You know, I mean, my house is, like, geek central. Right. There's, like –
you have, like, 300 pinball tables, right?
Yeah, there's pinball machines, arcade machines, you know. And, you know, we're always playing games, you know, we're big into Star Wars, we're big into anime and stuff like that. So, I mean, they're around that stuff.
Yeah.
They know all the Pokemon, so it's kind of hard for them
not to
be in that, you know. Plus, you know, as we were growing up, my oldest now is 9, so she was in the studio when we were doing Sly, and, you know, she has seen us do all the Sonic games, and you know, she's huge into VR. Like, she'll put on the Oculus Quest, and, you know, that's like her treat for Friday. It's like, hey, if you do really good this week, I'll let you use the Quest on Friday. Nice. So, it's been fun with kids.
That's really
a blast.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Matt.
Yeah. What's up?
I'm excited to see what your kids do in the future. But that future is so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
To purchase?
No, I didn't prep you. You got to read this part here. I'm way off my game today.
What are
you
off?
You got to read this part right here.
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every week.
Do 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 yeah! Out today. Sorry, I got better about it. But again, why does anybody work in December? What is the point? Why are we here this week? What is the point, Kevin?
Mentally, I'm not here.
Nobody's here right now. You know what I mean? Give me a whippet and let's just fucking forget about it till 2020. No, sorry. Out today. Travel Mosaics: A Paris 2 are on Switch. Treasure Rangers on PS4, Ground War on PC, Sapper on PC, Mahjong Gold on PC,
oh boy,
Bomber Fox on PC, and then one that I definitely need to see the trailer for, Kevin, Slippery Sausage on PC and Mac. Let me see what Slippery Sausage looks like.
I'm on it.
Monday's always got a bunch of good PC games for you to come out, you know what I mean? While Kevin's looking up that, new dates for you. Farming Simulator 19 is adding mods to PlayStation 4 tomorrow, December 17th. God. Skellboy's launching January 30th, 2020 on Nintendo Switch. All right, throw it up here. No, rewind though. I need that great graphic they just showed me. Slip inside as a sentient out to take out alien inhabited objects. Just a sausage floating around with a weird pink tail. Master moving in one direction and spinning in another to survive 50 waves of varied enemies. If this doesn't come to PlayStation as a simple trophy get, I don't know what's wrong with it, but play a short game or go for a high score. Get him, sausages. Get him, you slippery sausage. If you're an audio listener, it looks like Asteroids, basically, but you're a sausage and there's color. Slippery Sausage. There it is.
But not like a lot of color.
I mean more color than Asteroids, which is black and white.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I understand
it is just weird gaming week. isn't it? We got poop and toilets, and now some sausages.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's day in, day out around here on the way of the list. You never know what you're gonna get. Scale Boy is launching January 30th, 2020 on the Nintendo Switch, and then pointing out that Overcooked 2's next new update comes out Tuesday, the 17th of December.
Sad about that, or
Overcooked DLC? I mean, I've already proven time and time again I'm better than Joey.
It's not even close.
You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. Embarrassing.
Yeah.
Until she hurt me really badly.
Watch great game.
Halloween Hellscape. Overcooked? Yeah.
Yep.
Is that a family game you're
playing
at home?
That's a family one. That's
is that leading
one.
To fights and crying and tantrums?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my daughter will play it solo, too. Yeah. So,
of course.
She digs it.
Nice. Now it's time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, Greg Way, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Third Love. Third Love does bras differently. They believe that every woman deserves to feel comfortable and confident every day. With the right kind of support, they help her do this. Their bras are designed to fit you, not the other way around. Designed with measurements from millions of women, their bra styles are made to fit your life. They have over 80 bra sizes, but now you know that the only one that matters is yours. They make bras we believe in. Every bra is backed by their perfect fit promise, 60 days to wash it and wear it, and if you don't love it, return it, and returns are always free. Every bra is made for comfort with memory foam cups, no slip straps, and smooth, scratch-free band with printed label. They believe in giving back. They donate all their gently used bras to women in need. All the kind of honeys who are wearing their Third Love bras love their Third Love bras and tell us about it all the time. Third Love helps you identify your breast size and shape and find styles that fit your body. They also have the perfect fit promise. Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, put it to the test, and if you don't love it, like I said, return it, and they'll wash it and donate it to a woman in need. Returns and exchanges are free and easy, plus the fit stylist will help you via chat or email. So far, Third Love has donated more than $15 million in bras. Third Love knows there's a perfect fit for everyone, so right now they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/games now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/games for 15% off today. Up next is Upstart. As most of us found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy. Getting out is hard, especially if your credit score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high-interest credit card debt. Everyone knows my story. I moved here, needed a loan, went and got a loan. Interest rate not good because it didn't do any of the things Upstart does. Upstart goes beyond your traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. Upstart believes you're more than just a credit score. They believe in you and understand that. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes. And the best part, once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 300,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards and meet their financial goals. You should too. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot. And hurry to upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate takes only a few minutes and won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/KFGames. And finally, Logitech. Hey, they have a new headset. It's called the Pro X headset from Logitech G. And guess what? I use it, and I love it over there. You might say, Greg, you don't even play these PC games. Why would you be using this Logitech headset? Two reasons. Number one, I plug it right into my controller, and it's great. It's what I've been playing Borderlands with over my desk. It's what I've been loving over there. Comfortable headset, really good microphone. It's got that blue thing in it. I don't even know what that means, but it makes it crystal clear. More importantly for me is that if you've ever done a podcast with me, you know that I often screw it up. I've just noticed that I've been looking at the one shot because Kevin usually puts me in one shots for these, and I am not on the one shot. Too late now! I'm too late now, Kevin! I've been staring at the wrong camera. Anyways. Use that. But if you ever do a podcast with me, I usually screw it up and don't have the right microphone. And it turns out I've been recording on the computer audio. Terrible. This one, it's got one thing, goes right to USB, and the computer knows what it is. It's perfect if you're a moron like me, and I assure you, you probably are. That's why you should use it. It's designed with the in collaboration. It's got here's a whole bunch of things Tim would want to know about. Version 2.0 takes 7.1 channel surround sound further, even more enhanced bass rendering, auto clarity, proximity cues, and more importantly, a new level of distance awareness, which differentiates between near field and far audio. So if you pinpoint your enemy's location more quickly, it's a bunch of nerd stuff. It's really good. It sounds really, really good.
Sounds
if
cool.
Right? And if you're a dumb like me, it makes everything else easier. It just works. That's what I love about it. I plug it in and it works. Pro X joins a complete setup. of Logitech G gear, developed in close collaboration with top esports pros. With Logitech G's most advanced tech and focused design, nothing gets in the way of winning. Ask Nitro Rifle. For a limited time, Logitech G is offering our listeners 10% off any of their products at logitechg.com. Use the code KFGAMES for 10% off today. That's 10% off all Logitech G products if you purchase from logitechg.com with the code KFGAMES. Thank you, Kevin, for the one shot there. I was so into the headset. You know what I mean? Now go wide, Kevin.
You were doing good.
Now go wide, Kevin. Kevin, it's Christmas. Give me this gift. Go back to the wide shot. Oh, a transition, too.
Man,
Someone's getting spicy 9 days from Christmas, and I like it. The nanobiologist writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hey, Matt, you and your team have helped make some amazing remasters and remakes so far. And now you guys have released a huge RPG on Oculus. Can you please talk about the shift from third-person games like Sly, Spyro, Sonic, and God of War to VR first-person? Has it been difficult to develop this with this new perspective in mind? What are some of the unexpected challenges y'all have found? Have they been fun to work through?
Yeah. So first of all, it's like, what kind of game are you making? What's the platform?
Yeah.
You know, obviously, if it's a game like Sly, Sonic, or Spyro, we already know those pre-existed, cameras. They're going to work best for that type of gameplay. But working in VR has been really challenging. I mean, a good challenge because, in a normal game, we know where the camera is going to be looking. We know kind of everything's, set in stone what you're going to see.
Yeah.
And in VR, it's completely different. We don't know where your head's going to be, where your body's going to be. And the body is a big thing. Sanzaro Games is one of the first, developers that was doing full body IK. So there's a lot of stuff where people
What's IK mean?
Inverse kinematics. How?
Oh, of course, Kevin. I forgot about inverse kinematics.
I didn't know that one.
If you pull this, how the rest of the arm and the body moves. But
you only know it because your wife's an animator.
Yeah.
But we do the full body, so we don't know what people are looking at when we're holding certain things. Like on Wrath and Marvel, we did a lot of things where we had like Deadpool, for example, we had, weapons on his back, weapons on the belt.
Yeah.
And, we just don't know what people are looking at and what people are grabbing. But it's been an amazing challenge, the stuff we did in Asgard's Wrath, I really think we took it to the next level with, just immersing the player in the game and you're really feeling like you're there. I still think there's room for third person in VR. You look at games like Chronos, for example, which is a third person game, and it plays fantastic, So I think there's room for even first and third, hybrid.
Moss,
another great example.
Oh, yeah.
It's really been a fun challenge. And as a developer, I think that's what we all want. We want the challenge, we want to be pushed. We want to push the medium, and that's why as a studio we really have been in VR for so long.
And that's the thing. I wanted to talk to you about that is when did you guys make that decision that you actually wanted to? Because I know a lot of developers looked at VR and were like, that looks cool if we ever have the idea, and then they've never really had the idea. You guys, at some point must have had that conversation, but then you really committed to it and have made so much stuff.
Yeah, I mean, as a studio, I like the creativeness of that angle, and I see a future in it. I think 5-10 years from now, the stuff that we're going to be playing, is even now, like with the Quest.
Oh, sure.
It's been fantastic. I used to be the guy in the computer room, with the Rift headset, and I was just playing games by myself, but now I'm out in the living room, people are like, what are you doing? I just take the the Quest and give it to them, and they're there playing Beat Saber or whatever, and they're loving it.
Yeah.
So I see the potential in the medium, and as a game developer, I see the potential in what we can do creatively and what we can do to push the boundaries. Not to say we're not going to do, 2D stuff, but...
Oh, sure, yeah. Because you guys have done 2D, or not, you've done normal games.
Yeah.
While you've been doing VR stuff,
that's
right?
Correct.
Yeah, it's not like you switched all the way over to being a VR studio.
Right. I mean, we did Spyro, last year we worked on that,
Was there a moment, though, when you had, how far back does it go where you guys were like, let's talk about VR and do we want to actually do it? And how does that conversation go?
We started with VR Sports on the Oculus headset. And it is just really eye-opening with the, you know what it was? The breaking point was the controllers.
Yeah.
Was the Quest, or the, you know, the Rift, the Oculus controllers, and being able to see your hands in front of you and being able to, like, reach out and grab things and just seeing the potential of where that could go.
Yeah.
And just seeing, you know, different applications of it being used. I mean, and there wasn't that much out at that time to utilize that. So as a developer, when I see things like that, I want to build for them. I want to make it better. I want to push the boundaries. Just like what we did with Wrath, it's like, you know, I'm a hardcore gamer. Like, you know, just like our entire studio, we're going home, we're playing PS4 games, we're on, you know, Steam, we're playing everything. But there's nothing like that in VR. You know, there's just nothing that's a big, full game. And I think, you know, as a studio, that was what we always wanted to strive to get to. And so with Wrath, it's awesome to see the feedback and people playing a game of that size. And you get people, you know, like Corey Barlog, he's like tweeting out, like, you know, our game and stuff.
Well,
and
sure,
like,
he's like, oh man, somebody actually did something good with Norse mythology.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
No, theirs is good too.
He sucks!
We hate him! He's horrible!
But, you know, when you see the medium reaching that far, you know, and you know, people like, you know, Shu and stuff, and they're all like, oh, this is great, and this is, you know, it's nice to see that, because if you see the reception from the outside, you're like, wow, they think like us.
Yeah.
They want, there is a need for these kind of games.
Well, that's been I don't want to say the good thing about it, but one of the interesting things about VR is that I feel when it was really getting going and Oculus was happening and Vive was happening and PlayStation VR was happening, there were these conversations of, and money running to it, thinking it was going to be the next big thing, but thinking it was going to be the next big thing overnight. And I thought PlayStation had their head on straight, and clearly Oculus does in the same way.
Yeah.
Of like, no, not really. And so as people have run away from it and gone like, oh man, it's not there, blah, 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 it's left not only a community that I was talking about, of how great the Quest community is and how great the PlayStation VR community is and how supportive they are. It's how supportive the developers are and publishers are of each other.
Yeah.
In the way that I think you don't hear, like, when, if I'm trying to think of a good example, and it's not apples to apples, but like, you don't hear people ask when Microsoft announces an exclusive game if it's ever going to come to PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
But like when Valve comes out and they're like, Half-Life Alyx is this, right? And then there's this conversation of, well, will it ever come to PlayStation VR? And it's not an outright no. It is very much of like, everybody gets that if you're a VR person, you're in this together right now.
Yeah.
And so the success of the any game, any platform is a success for everyone.
It really is. Yeah. And the community is so tight. You know, we're really, you know, I'm looking at their games. You know, we're looking at, you know, Lone Echo and everything that Ready at Dawn's doing.
Dude, you want to talk about another studio that is always like, is PlayStation going to buy them, but is now just off doing amazing VR stuff? Ready at Dawn. One of those, every time I play those Echo games.
Yeah, and another really good one is Wilson's Heart, you know, the Twisted Pixel guys.
Oh, right.
They are killing it on VR. And, you know, we just have a great, tight community. We're always talking. We're always sharing. And that goes cross-platform. You know, we talk to a lot of guys that do, you know, PSVR exclusives and stuff. But it's nice to be at a point in our industry where it's that close, you know, and we're sharing technology. We're playing everyone's games, seeing what they did, how they did it. And it's nice to be on the cusp of that.
Yeah, it's a cool revitalization of what you read about of what it seems like the early days of games were.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
before it was this big business, people all over the world, everybody siloed trying to do their own thing.
Totally. Yeah. And you know, we were both at the VGAs last week, and it's like that award isn't like the showcase award yet, but I'm telling you, like the next 5-10 years,
totally,
like that's going to be, you know, up on the stage, you know, and you're going to have so many people playing.
I think the, you know, what people want out of VR, I think your game is a great example of we're there. But it's also the fact that, like, when the Quest is magic.
It
when
really
you put
is.
On the Quest and it just works and it's in your house and it's like, wow. And the fact that 5 years from now, that will be the experience, I assume, across all VR of PlayStation VR, whatever Oculus is doing, and having it be the high end, you know, however it's all communicating, working, and streaming technology. Like,
yeah.
When that is the experience, I really do feel like that is when we're going to be, the dominoes have tumbled and everybody's in on it.
Yeah, it's not only that, but, you know, alongside that, we need software.
Sure. Oh, of course. You can't. Nobody buys the headset just to have the headset.
Yeah, which is great, you know, seeing a lot of these exclusive games to push, you know, all that hardware. and the just the ease of putting it on, like you're saying, it's like the Quest, like someone can buy that and like you're set up in like 10 minutes.
Yep.
You're playing something.
Yeah.
There's no wires. There's no anything. And I've seen people, you know, buy one and they're just like, they're just blown away. Just
totally.
At how simple it was to set up.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And let alone like now the fact that you can tether it, right? USB-C to a computer and then you have a Rift.
That is awesome. Yeah. Because, you know, when we originally launched Asgard's Wrath, you know, we had a lot of people that were just with the high-end PCs with the, you know, the Rift headset.
Yeah.
Some people were on the fence. Do I want to get into VR? Do I not want to get into VR? And then the Link came out.
Yeah.
And then, like, on Reddit and, you know, our Discord channel and stuff, I see people that were like, I went out and bought a Quest with the cable just to play your game like
That's
this.
Awesome.
And it runs, you know, they're playing Stormland and they're playing everything through there. So it's awesome to see.
Yeah. And that's the stuff you're talking about of, like, as it all happens, right? These dominoes continue to fall and the software's there and the hardware's there and it is making for an experience that isn't 30 minutes of troubleshooting why the camera on the wall isn't seeing the thing, right? Or like I've walked out of the boundary. Like that's, you know, you talk about being in the living room with your Quest. It's the same way for me. And I love that ability of to be able to play. And then if Jen calls for me, just to lean my head through the boundary I've created and see her in black and white and have real, I'm not gone. You know what I mean? Like when I play PlayStation VR, it's headset this thing.
You're
I'm taking over the entire living room. Get out so I don't punch you in the face. And I have no idea what you're saying to me. And I can't have
them. I do that all the time. When I was first doing that at my house, I'd have my beer on the
table. Yeah.
You know, I'm sitting there playing Beat Saber or something. And then I'll walk out, grab the beer with the headset on. Yeah. She's like, what do you do? How do you? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just awesome.
It's awesome. Yeah. It's a great time to be alive and making VR games, playing VR games right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Okay. Frank Furter says on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Good morning, Greg and Matt. We are now in a post-Game Awards 2019 world, and people are making memes out of the new Xbox and even some creative skins for it. While we are still so far away from the Xbox Series X coming out, do you think memeing the new Xbox will help their marketing out or hurt them? Usually, memes are jokes, but if we keep seeing Xbox Series X go everywhere, do you think people will just buy it?
To be honest, like when I see marketing stuff like that, I think it's gold.
Yeah.
I think it's free. It's free publicity.
Any publicity marketing is good publicity, right?
And,
you want to be talked about.
Yeah, you want to be talked about, and I think it's positive all around.
Yeah, by the time you get to where it's actually out next holiday season, everybody will come to terms with the fact that, yes, it's a tower.
Yeah.
Everyone will understand that you can lay the tower down. I saw Destin Legarry get drugged through the streets of Twitter for not knowing that. He's like, I'm on vacation. I'm sorry I didn't listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same thing. We all become so accepting of everything. I've seen so much backlash, not even backlash, I shouldn't say that. So many conventions about people not agreeing with the naming convention of how it's going to be confusing, it's going to be this. And it's like, when I talk about the Xbox One, and are you getting on PlayStation or Xbox? No one goes, do you mean Xbox 360 or Xbox One or Xbox One? And it's like, no, by this, you understand what it is. Once this becomes current gen, it's the Xbox.
It's,
we're talking about the Xbox, we're talking about this thing. I think it'll just be helpful. I think the design's cool.
I really like it. Yeah. And you know, if you look at history, you remember like the Switch came out.
Totally.
And there was all the puppy dog.
Yeah.
You know, stuff
what
like
the controller looked like.
You know, it all works in its favor. So.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Don't you worry about it.
Hi,
Barrett. Nanobiologist gets the final question of this Monday, the final week of content. Kind of. You know what I mean? Whatever. Hey, Greg and Matt. I've been playing Forza Eliminator all weekend, and in a surprising twist, I now love Forza Horizon 4 way more than I ever did when it first launched. Now, to a point where I want to 100% all the achievements. Has DLC ever changed your mind on a game, good or bad? If so, what DLC was it? Was it a certain new feature that made you love or hate a game more? Or was it the existence of the DLC enough to push you over the line to either loving it 100% or hating it more than you ever wanted to?
Yeah, you know, DLC is really a mixed bag. You either get, you know, the little things or you get the big package of it.
Yeah.
I think the one that worked for me the best was Horizon.
Ooh, okay. Frozen Wilds?
Yeah, because it was just like a whole new game.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a whole chunk of content. You know, and that when that was released, it ended up reinvigorating me to go back and, you know, do stuff in the main game that I didn't, you know, 100%.
Yeah.
So I love seeing content like that. That's just like a big refresh chunk.
I've seen it go both ways for me. I think of always that Prince of Persia reboot Ubisoft did when I was at IGN. So what, 2008, 2009? This is a great You're Wrong, Come At Me. Wait, were we in the new office? No, so it would have been 2008, 2009, I'll say, where Nolan North was the prince. And if you remember, it ends on a cliffhanger, and then they did a paid DLC that was like the real ending.
Yeah.
And I was like, go to hell. What a terrible decision. Why would you do that, right?
Yeah.
And then in the different vein, I think right now, Borderlands has been doing such a great job.
Yeah.
And granted, I host the Borderlands show. Take it with a grain of salt if you want.
Yeah.
But as a huge Borderlands fan and somebody who played it and platinumed it, I'm still doing the thing of like, oh, well, the DLC drops later this week, the first big DLC. So this weekend I was just running around True Vault Hunter mode, right? Like getting better gear,
right.
You know, grinding
getting
up my...
Getting ready for it.
Getting my Guardian points up, right? And it's to the point... I think it's the... I compare that to the Division 2. Because in the beginning of the year, I was super stoked for 2008, Boars and Double Zero says, for Prince of Persia. Thank you. In the beginning of the year, I was so excited for Division 2. Got Division 2... Gobbled up Division 2, Platinum Division 2.
Yeah.
But when the raid dropped and it was like oppressively hard, it just killed it. It capped off. It just took me off where I was just like, oh, well.
Right.
I need, when the gear level gets super high, I'll come back so I can do this. And they've never raised the gear level. So I've never had this. I need to go back and play Division to keep going. And now it's so gone. It's I'm so far removed from it that Borderlands is still that drip feed of like, all right, cool, there was the Malawan takedown, there's the big piece of DLC, there's seasonal events, they're still, all week long they're putting up, you know, codes.
The drip like that, I think is great if it's planned right.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta plan that stuff really early.
Yeah.
And, you know, really have a good cadence.
Another
of
one
it.
I think is even, you know, this year is Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3.
Yes.
Where the characters and the modes and like
excellent.
I this weekend powered it back on to jump in and look at some new stuff, and it was like, even for, I thought I was up on it, to jump back in and be like, oh man, I totally missed what this changed and how this moved and these like new challenge rooms. Like, there's so much content.
There was Gambit I saw.
Oh, from Game Awards? Yeah, yeah, it's the X-Men pack that's coming out. It's Iceman, it's Phoenix, it's Gambit.
And then
I'm forgetting somebody.
The guy who's from the future and he comes back.
Cable.
And he's, Cable.
Cable. Yeah, there was some good ones.
Yeah.
I'm you know what's a, one of my favorite expansions along with Horizon is the great Monster Hunter.
Oh yeah!
I mean,
come on.
That like the expansion for that is like a totally new game.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Iceborne. Awesome.
Yeah. Their DLC can be done so well to get you back into a game, let alone to come back in and appreciate it for something more than it was. Because
totally.
I think even looking back now, it's, you know, Ultimate Alliance, which at launch was, I loved that game. To see how much more content there is, and there is so many more reasons to keep playing it. Hell yeah, everybody!
Yeah.
Woo! It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Matt, you're squatting up.
Okay.
Where can people go get Asgard's Wrath? What platforms is it on? What Discord should they join? How should they hang out with you?
You can join our Sanzaru Discord. Our producer, the amazing Mike Doran from Oculus, he's always on there. Our team is always on there. You can get Asgard's Wrath on the Oculus platform. Play it on your old school CV1 Rift. Play it on a Rift S. And, you know, we're always there on Facebook and Twitter, ready to hear from you guys.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now it's time for You're Wrong. This is where you write in as we're live. Tell us what we screw up. We read it here and we set the record straight. Nanobiologist has two. Number one, we missed Fortnite's Winterfest begins tomorrow. It's got a lot of free items. So there you go. Get on that. Did you ooh that, Kevin?
Yeah.
You going to get in there?
No, I was going sarcastically.
Oh, really? Last year, if you remember that, this is the time of year where I came back hardcore on Fortnite. And it was because of this. They were dropping stuff. Huh?
Did I?
Yeah, you did forget that. You would never forget stuff,
no.
I tell you.
Did I come back?
Nobody cares what you did. They're talking about me.
You care about what I did.
I do care what you do.
There you go.
Now you didn't come back.
There you go.
You going to come back to Borderlands? You going to do that DLC with me?
Oh, I want to.
And you know, in auto, it does the scaling. You'll be fine. You can play with me. Barrett's in?
I got it in, man.
Boss Baby's in?
Let's go.
Thursday, boys. Let's do it.
Borderlands or Fortnite?
Borderlands. Or do you want Fortnite?
No, I was saying Borderlands.
Yeah, Borderlands. All right. It seems back together. All right, there we go. And then Nanobiologist says, Greg, you promised us a Sly-related question today, but you didn't read one.
Oh, boy.
It's because the page flipped over. You're right. Nanobiologist had a PS on his question. Why have you all forsaken Sly to ancient Egypt? When can he return home to Carmelita and finally be happy?
Man.
Of course, that's the cliffhanger ending to your game.
That is. You know,
speaking of cliffhangers, I got to pay for it. You know what I mean? Come on.
We love Sly. You know, I'll tell you a tidbit of information. So the original first episode of Sly Cooper Thieves in Time was supposed to be Egypt. Okay. With Sly, Tutankhamun.
Yeah.
And then Egypt was going to be a DLC episode.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was always the intention. And then, you know, we never got to finish that out.
Sure.
I do have the you know, in the team at Sanzaro, like, we have the story. We have the whole episode done, you know, on paper form.
Of course.
But we would love to come back to that world. I hate leaving them there. It's question we get the most.
Sure.
All I can say is, you know, if you guys want more Sly Cooper, let Sony know.
Herman Hulse, hit him up.
Yeah, but we're ready. We're always ready to dig into that. Awesome. And it was a great franchise to work on, and we really miss it.
I hope
it.
You get back to it one day. I liked what you guys did a lot with it.
Cool. Thank you. No problem. It was a great project.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's run you through the rest of the hosts for the week. Tomorrow, Imran and Fran take over this show. They're running it. Wednesday, it's me and Gary Witta for the final Witta Wednesday of the year. Not forever. Thursday, me and Victor Lucas. That's right. Electric Playgrounds. Victor Lucas will be in town. And then Friday, it's me and Fran at 11 a.m. We're doing an 11 a.m. show because before that is... what, Kevin? You're not familiar with this?
No.
You ever look at the calendar? Coward. Anyways, before that, we're doing the review of, what's the new Star Wars? Jedi's Walk on Water or something?
No.
Watto's?
Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, I like mine better. Watto. You know what I mean? Anyways, we're doing the review in the morning of that, so that'll run late there.
Awesome.
It is a great cookie. I made it. If it's the cookie I made, I'm not sure what you've shoved in your mouth. It is? Nailed it. Good job. Gamescast, Thursday, 2 p.m. Of course, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Me, Tim, Fran, and Imran. That's how it works. Matt. You were lovely today. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
Anytime. Everybody, hit them up. Get on the Discords. Get on the Twitters. Play Asgard's Wrath. You got no excuse. Me and Kevin got no excuse. Our Quest can plug right into a computer. What are we doing? You know?
Yeah. Guys, get on it.
And we will.
It's only like 40 plus hours to finish. you guys, come on.
Strapped in VR. That's what you guys want, right? That's what I was talking about.
You had a Christmas break coming up.
That's true.
So, yeah.
That's true. That's a great point.
Are you taking the Go with you?
I have my own Quest. And remember, we talked about this. I talked about how it was powered up. It's a great device. You had a part in that. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every week, on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames with your questions, comments, concerns, everything under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record the show live. Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. You can watch it later. YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. RoosterTeeth.com. Or listen on podcast services around the globe. Until next time. It's been our pleasure to serve you.
Greg, it had batteries cut. I plugged it in.
No, not the one at my house. Not the one.